Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
All-powerful God, merciful Father, I, a poor, pitiful
ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And as it's standing by the command of thy Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song.
His praise in the assembly of the godly.
I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up.
And have not let my foes rejoice over me.
O Lord my God, I cry to you for help.
And you have healed me.
O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol.
You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints.
And give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime.
Weeping may tarry for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the 6th and 7th chapters. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You, who received the law as delivered by angels, and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation.
When his wrath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his hands perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the
watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
The second reading is from St. Peter's first letter, the second chapter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and a life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Our text from 1 Peter chapter 2, especially verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is our text. In his letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul writes, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is." Making the best use of the time. That's the phrase that always catches my attention. So what time are we in, and what would be the best use of the time? About 6 years ago, I began thinking of our time, this time, as a time to build. That thought has nothing to do with additions to the parsonage or to the church. It doesn't involve creating new programs. What I mean is this: it seemed to me that the Christian church has an opportunity, a new opportunity, to give people something that is solid and lasting. Amid the chaos, amid the uncertainty, amid the fear of the world around us, it was time for us to lean into our belief that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Our time, our energy, even our money should be put into things that truly matter. And I still think that. I still think that it's a time to build in that way. But in today's reading, St. Paul tells us of another time to build, and he describes us as part of an even better and more glorious building project. In this building project, we are not the builders. In this building project, we're the stones being built. "You yourselves," he says, "like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house." This is what St. Peter teaches. This is God's time to build, and it is God's time to build us as living stones into a spiritual house on Jesus, the rejected but risen cornerstone. I'll say that again. This is God's time to build us as living stones into a spiritual house on Jesus, the rejected and risen cornerstone. But just how can God build with the likes of us? That's a legitimate question. A building will only be as good as the materials you use to make it. Particle board is not the same as hardwood. Cheap vinyl for the floor will not work as well as porcelain tile. And so what are we? Or let me ask it this way. Would you pick a bunch of poor, pitiful sinners as material for your building project? That's what we just said about ourselves as the service began. Or could you work with people who are mentally challenged, emotionally unstable, physically infirm, or financially insecure? What about those who are passive procrastinators, naive dreamers, and wild idealists? What can we build? What can be built with material like that? I mean, could you even take that mix of materials and make something that would fit with modern art? I'm not sure that you could even do that. And yet our God says and has a history of turning reclamation projects into something beautiful. And that kind of is the entire story of the scriptures. He regularly builds with scraps, with leftovers, and with rejects. For his purposes, no one is too damaged, too scarred, or too hurt. In fact, in the Psalms it says that he specializes in projects that involve a broken spirit, and a broken and contrite heart he will not despise. He has a place for the battered and the bruised, and for failing bodies as well. And we see that especially if you start at the very beginning of this building that he is making. Start with the very first stone, and you'll see how he does it. The stone that the builders rejected is what he calls that stone. The stone that everyone said was good for nothing and wouldn't fit. The stone that they tossed out on the trash heap, crucified, and left for dead. That one has become the cornerstone of the entire project. The one that everyone would walk past and not give a second thought to. That is the stone on which God builds his spiritual house. On the third day, God raised that stone up. He rolled it into place. He said, "Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." The cornerstone of God's entire project is a person who was crucified but is risen from the dead. And everything that God does and everything that God is building for eternity, he is building on that death and resurrection stone. Or consider two other stones as well that are part of our readings today, the St. Peter stone and the St. Stephen stone. You might remember that Peter's own name means rock. In fact, he might be the very first one in all of human history with that name, Peter. But more accurately, his name actually means pebbles, the little rock. He received that name after confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, "On this rock, on this confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He is building on the confession that Jesus is the Christ. And the confession was strong, and it is still strong, but the one who made the confession was not. St. Peter was unsteady. You probably remember how he denied Jesus three times, saying that he didn't even know the man, while Jesus was confessing that he was the Christ who had to suffer and die. Building on Peter would be like building on a sinkhole. It's not going to work. Peter fell deep, and he fell hard. But when he woke up, he wept bitterly. He knew what he'd done, and he hated it. And the cornerstone came to him and said, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." And with forgiveness in the name of Jesus, Peter became a living stone of this spiritual house, built up even after he had torn down with his denials, because the forgiveness of Jesus does wonders. And it can make us into something alive, as Peter was made alive again. And he's the very one writing to us in 1 Peter, saying that we too are being built up as living stones. Or consider the St. Stephen stone. With him, it's not so much his sin that would seem to disqualify him as it would be his suffering. The Jewish authorities couldn't stand what he was preaching, what he was saying. They couldn't stand how he was pointing to Jesus. In fact, it says they were outraged and they ground their teeth at him. And then with a loud voice, they stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And then they cast him out of the city, another rejected stone, and they stoned him to death. St. Stephen would not seem like he would be anything on which to build until you hear his last words, dying, bruised, battered, bleeding, seeing Jesus enthroned in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he says, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He doesn't say, "I'm done for and this is it." He says, "I'm being built up into a spiritual house." And he says, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." Which is a beautiful thing for us to remember, especially when our sin comes from the bruises and the batterings and the mockery and the disbelief of others. Do not let us be held down by the sins of others against us, but forgive their sins and build us up. And then he fell asleep in Jesus. And he woke up in the presence of his Lord. So this is how God builds. This is how he builds his spiritual house. This is why we should not look at ourselves and say, what can he do with us? But we should look at ourselves and say, what can he do with us? Because God builds with the least likely building material. A rejected cornerstone, but chosen and precious to him. A triple denier, but forgiven three times and more. A martyr stoned to death, but alive with Jesus forever. What makes you think that he couldn't build with you as well? So what then makes us fit to be part of God's spiritual house? What makes us living stones built on Jesus, the cornerstone? It's not the life we have in ourselves. God knows that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we would still be there if it depended on us. We really wouldn't be fit for anything on our own. But as you come to Jesus, this is the beautiful language that Peter uses, as you come to Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as you come to him. As you come to him today, with all that you are, or maybe I should say with all that you aren't, you are being built up as a living stone. He is the one who is doing this. It is his work and not our work. Why in him? Because God has promised that whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. It's faith, not works. It's trust, not our trying. It's done, not our doing. Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. But everyone who comes through him, everyone who brings their sins and their sorrows, everyone who brings that broken and contrite spirit through him is and will be built up in him by the Father as living stones. Living stones that are also, in a change of imagery that Peter gives us, like newborn infants. And I want you to think about that language for a minute. Newborn infants. Like newborn infants, he says, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Many of us have grown beyond the stage of having newborn infants, but there are some who do. And I think we tend to forget what it's like at times. That little infant, the nursing infant or the feeding infant, so eager for nourishment, it seems to be hungry all the time. The mother who says, "Didn't I just feed that child?" Be like that, St. Peter says. Hungry all the time, desiring more all the time. More of what? More of Jesus and what he gives, more of his goodness, more of his forgiveness, more of him. What is the proper food for all believers from the moment we are converted until our death? What is it on which we are to feed, to be nourished? But upon the very word of God, the scriptures, which stand at the heart of our services, as well as on the sacraments of God, holy baptism and holy communion. Like newborn infants, long for these things, desire these things, seek these things out from Jesus. And if you're not hungry for this, if you don't desire his word and his sacrament, then what exactly are you hungry for? And where are you looking for your nourishment? It's what he offers here to us. This is where our life is found, in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. This is where we are being made living stones built up on Christ, who is the cornerstone. And what are we being built into? We are being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are being built up into a permanent, eternal dwelling place of God. You might remember that in the book of Revelation, when it comes to the very end and the heavenly Jerusalem descends, God says the dwelling place of God is with man, that he might dwell in and with us, that we might declare his praises and live as his people. Not an earthly building, but a spiritual building. That is what we are being built up into. And this is why, although the world may look at the church and not think that it looks like much, our God can look at the church and see that it looks like everything that he is doing and everything that he is giving. The Holy Christian Church, that's what's being built. The communion of saints, of believers. The sum total of living persons filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what God is building you into. That's what God is building here by his word and sacraments. And building us to be his living people. That all of our thoughts, all of our desires, all of our deeds may be offered to him as part of this spiritual project and may be used by him as part of what he is doing. Indeed, we come today offering what we have and what we are, which may not seem like much to us, but we say, take us, Lord, our entire selves, all that we are and all that we have, and use us as living stones in some small way as you build up this spiritual house. And keep us in this house forever. And he says that those who believe in him will never be ashamed. This is the promise we have. Though we cannot see what God is building, what God is doing on the grand scale, we know that he is, and we know that it will be revealed on the last day. Be built and build for eternity. And we will not be ashamed when that day comes, because we will be built in him, the rejected, but chosen, precious, living, and eternal cornerstone, and we will be living stones in him. And the gates of hell will not prevail, but the house of God will remain forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding now guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray to God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. Heavenly Father, through the power of Christ's resurrection, you adopt all who believe in him. Receive us as your newborn children and nourish our faith through the pure spiritual milk of your word, that we may dwell in your presence forever and be built up as living stones
into a spiritual house. Lord, in your mercy, send laborers into your harvest, Lord. Preserve your ministers among us, devoted to your word and to prayer. Give many servants to your church, that neither the preaching nor the care of your people may fall into neglect or disregard. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, be with all who are newly called into the office of the holy ministry. Fill their mouths with your word and their hands with your gifts, and by their service lead the congregations they serve to abide in Christ, the true vine. Especially for Johniel and our Savior in South Windsor, Connecticut, and Kyle and Good Shepherd in Marshall, Minnesota. We also pray that through their vicarages and internships, you would prepare seminarians Nathaniel and Matthew for future service in your church. Finally, hear our prayers for vacant congregations, especially Mount Calvary in Acton, Lutheran Church of the Resurrection in Waterville, Hope Lutheran in Bangor, and Holy Trinity in Terryville. And so provide for their spiritual care and send them pastors. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, receive our heartfelt thanks for the birth of Charles Benjamin to Nick and Kitty, and continue to be with them, especially with mother and child. Protect also all expectant mothers and their little ones, including Kelsey, Jordan, Carrie, and Jalen. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, your power brought all things into being and still preserves what you have made. Bless our President, the Congress of the United States, our Governor, and all elected and appointed civil servants. Lead them to honor you and your purpose, establishing order and justice, encouraging virtue, and protecting all life. Give them wisdom and moderation to lead for the well-being of the nation. Lord, in your mercy. Father of glory, your Son is the way, the truth, and the life. Yes. Bless all who have requested our prayers, especially Mike in the next steps of his care, Victor and Sandra for peace as his last hour comes, Sylvia, who is suffering from breast cancer, Kim and her husband facing many challenges, as well as Ralph, Dale, Lauren, Kay, Louise, Dave, Debbie, Julian, Rosemarie, Katie, Joyce, Ted and Cindy, Rick, and Stan and Mary Lou in their ongoing needs. May Christ himself be their way of salvation, their truth amid doubt, and their life amid death. Grant them a sure and steadfast hope in the good news that he has prepared a place for them with you, where pain and sickness are no more, and all things are made new. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty God, in Christ you have made us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for your possession. Preserve your people in the one true faith, and grant that all who come to the supper this day might do so with repentant hearts that thankfully receive your Son's body and blood. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we thank and praise you for your servant Stephen, whom your Son has received into his glory. May we imitate him in faith and love to speak your truth with boldness, forgiving those who sin against us as Christ forgave his persecutors from the cross. Grant comfort to all who mourn, including the family and friends of Jonathan, as well as Judy Greenlee's and those who mourn for her cousin Marcia, and guide them through their times of grief. When our last hour comes, then let us fall asleep in Christ and be born into eternal life for the sake of him who was born into our flesh to redeem it, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give
unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 66, a psalm of thanks, starting at the first verse. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned to the sea into dry ground. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He rules by the mighty forever, whose eyes kept watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us with silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You lay crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet we have brought us out of a place of abundance. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man.
Thank you.
blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have given us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless me the Lord.
The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.